Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Chain Gang podcast. Today I'm joined by six-day sprinter and NHS worker, Alex Spratt. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm surviving. I don't do anything normally with my life, so being locked down is really not that big of a problem. But, so obviously you've been more busy than most. I'm guessing your job got a lot more hectic.
Yeah, so the past month has been, if not a bit longer, because that's how long we've been prepping, has been pretty back-to-back. Because, I mean, I've been in the NHS 10 years in May, and it's never been like this. And I think anyone who works with the NHS will say it's never, ever been like this. There's just so much difference in how everyone's working, what you've got to be doing. Kind of lots of things are going out the window just to try and get stuff done and protect people. So all we're doing at the moment is making sure the building's adequate for people to actually be in. Because if it isn't, then we can't have any patients in. And nurses and doctors can't do the job. Yeah, that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, of all the jobs to have in this situation, it's probably one of the hardest working ones. Are you still training? Because I know, obviously, you said to me the last time I saw you that actually you're taking a kind of stepping onto the back foot with cycling anyway.
Yeah, so we had 6 day back end of last year. And about 2 weeks after that, I had my son, Oscar, who's 5 months old now. And then had nationals as well. And that was at the end of Jan. And around that time, obviously getting 2-3 hours sleep a night with a 1 month old, 2 month old, however old he was at the time. My great auntie passed away as well. So nationals was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of me just being emotionally and physically drained. So I just wanted to a bit of time away from the bike, which I have done. But since everything's kind of been going on, I've jumped on the back on the bike in the past month or so. I was still training, going to the gym, but kind of just keeping away from the bike as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, no. Because obviously, I mean, if you were going to step away from competition, because you weren't due to ride at 6 days Manchester, were you?
No.
Yeah, and then obviously that got cancelled and everything for the foreseeable future is cancelled. So in some ways, if any time to take a step off the bike, it's probably accidentally happened to be quite a good time to do it.
Yeah, it has accidentally turned out to be a good time to do it, even though it's a bad time in the world. But yeah, couldn't have timed it any better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the whole situation is probably worse for all the people who are trying to peak for the Olympics. Because obviously, the younger you are, the longer you can peak for. And there's some people out there who are peaking for the day of their races in the Olympics, which is now completely thrown out the window. So I guess you're lucky you weren't building to something quite as drastic as that.
Yeah, I think, obviously, with the Olympics being postponed, I think it's probably played into some nations' favour more than others. You think of Denmark and the form they were on for the TP, and then think of GB and the form they were on for the TP. Who's going to benefit more from having an extra year to train? Well, I think GB will. And then they'll pull out the magic kit, break the world record and probably get a gold medal. I think that's how it's going to roll.
Yeah, no, I mean, because the thing is, like, again, we discussed this before when I saw you, the way Denmark have done it, I don't know the ins and outs because I'm a bad journalist, but like, the thing is, because Dan Bigham's involved, this is what we suspect, and obviously you have been at events with the Hub Walk Bike guys, and basically how they made their sudden rise to fame was developing aero and stuff over training out of everyone, which has always actually been GB's kind of way of winning things. But like, they bring out a bike that's got the insane aero, they bring out a skin suit that you don't even feel the wind or whatever. And like, that's what Dan was doing with Hub Watt Bike, and I assume it's what he's doing with Denmark with riders who are like another step above. So they were going to be caught anyway, probably, but they would have got the Olympics, but now they don't. And now people have their sports analysts sitting bored at home. They've not been furloughed, who are probably sitting there just watching Denmark over and over again, trying to work out what it is that makes them so much better. And they've got a year to work out. So,
yeah, I mean, who, what bike were the perfect stepping stones for all nations to realise how far behind they were on technical factors? I mean, you had a bunch of riders who are really good, but probably weren't as good as a national team, but they just absolutely smashed it because they thought outside the box. As soon as you think outside the box, generally you're going to make them improvements that they have done. Now, unfortunately, they got caught pretty quickly this last year before they couldn't compete anymore. But I think, yeah, they proved that they kind of need to think more about the technical aspect of it.
Yeah, and obviously we've seen times dropping all over the place. Particularly this year's Worlds were mental for breaking world records in every discipline, really. I mean, also just this year, was it this year that the Flying 200 went? Or last year?
Yeah.
That was
like 9.1.
It's a 9.2, I think. Like, yeah, that. It's mental, mentally quick. You'd have to be doing it in like 7 seconds in a couple of years.
I was having a bet with everyone at the Velodrome saying that there's going to be a sub-9 post-Olympics. Everyone thinks, well, quite a few people thought I was pretty stupid for saying that, but you think everyone's at the peak. You get someone like the Dutch squad going to altitude, like Hoogland or someone like that, and just absolutely smashing a flying two, then you're going to get a sub-9. Easy.
Yeah, because, I mean, the guy who did it, he's not... I don't think he's ever podiumed at any major event, really, has he? Except the Pan American, where he did it.
None I'm aware of.
Like, because I didn't even actually know his name. Like when I read it, I didn't recognise the guy. And obviously, the old world record, Purvi set years ago in Cali at some massive altitude and the place where everyone goes to set world records. But yeah, I find it bizarre because it's like, there's some, like, even there were some world records that hadn't been broken for 8 or 9 years that were broken this year, which, like, in track cycling is ages. Like the team sprint one. Was it a team sprint one that was really old that the Dutch broke?
Yeah, what did they go? 41.2 or something like that?
Yeah. But I mean,
the Dutch squad at the moment are just insane.
Yeah, we actually discussed this as well. The team pursuit world record laps now are actually closing in on the team sprint laps, which is beyond like conceivable considering they do a lap each.
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest thing, that not just the technical side of cycling, it's who should be doing what in terms of like the physicality of a person, and going back to kind of like TP kind of stuff. It's not your endurance driven kind of person, although obviously there's an endurance aspect to it. You talking about people who are actually fairly substantial, like comparatively to what you'd think as a normal team pursuit or pursuit person. And that's kind of shown with what the Denmark lot are doing. Like going around at the times they're doing on a lap, it's ridiculous.
It's almost made me wonder, because obviously sprinters have always traditionally, Flying 200 is on a normal like sprinter bike, but obviously the kilos on a kilo, people vary between the proper traditional kind of pursuit bars and the drops. And I've always wondered, could it actually end up being quicker to do it on the aero? But I have no idea because I know nothing about science or what, and I don't ride quick enough for aero to make a difference. I'm just like a big sail anyway when I do. But like, because if they're riding that quick over 4 kilometers at that speed, surely changing to aero bars might actually be, are you even allowed? I don't know.
Yeah, no idea.
Maybe you should test it next year. Nationals, just turn up with some pursuit bars.
Nah, I'm all right.
I'm sure.
I can't even ride them properly, so.
Sure, they'd work for that. Whoever that guy is who attacks you every time he sprints with you, attacks on the first lap. Sure, that's what he needs.
Bunting. Little shit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he could just time trial away.
Well, that was tiring.
Because I think...
Let's just say that.
I've watched you sprint 3 times. And every time during that event, you've competed against him. And every time, he's done it. So, like, it's just like... I even said to my mate when I saw it was you against him, I said, oh, this guy's going to just go. He's just going to go. And he did. But I think you beat him then, didn't you?
Yeah. It was, I think I caught him coming into turn 3 on the last lap. So first race, yeah, I won that. Second race, he just went and I just left him because I was like, I can't be bothered chasing him. Third race, well, came off after the second race. And then we were questioning whether or not he'd do it again for about 10 minutes. Shall I change gear? Shall I go up? Shall I go down? Is he going to go long? Is he not? But if he does go long, that'd be stupid because he knows he's going to do it. But he's going to do it because he knows what. And then you kind of just start questioning yourself. So in the end, we just left everything the same. And we just kind of agreed, me and the guys who were helping, to just absolutely launch me off the start. And luckily, I managed to get on.
Yeah, no. I mean, because tactically, the sprint is by far the most... Well, I say that. I'm sure the tactics in bunch racing are really detailed, particularly points race, tempo racing, things like that, and elimination. But sprint's obviously the most obvious tactically, but it tends to always be the same tactics, generally.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's taking a different approach. He's revolutionising. But I mean, but you, obviously, racing at 6 days, you have to put up with the sort of like, it's called 6 days. I don't know if it's called 6 days because you do about 6 days worth of track stands in the sprints, but... Every time you watch 6 days, you sit on the back straight for about an hour. And even when you're getting
told... Not too bad. I don't have to do track stands because I can't do them.
But when it's like, what is it? Max versus one of the other Germans, they seem to just sit there for about an hour. And then that American bloke in the centre loves it. Absolutely loves it.
Mate.
Yeah. he just loves being on the track, though, to be fair. Never seen someone so enthusiastic, he's not a rider.
I know, he's a good lad, isn't he? And to all the guys who do 6 day are. I think that like 6 days weird. It's weird in the way that it's just such a buzz and then a massive come down like afterwards because you're awake like all day doing whatever. Well, I'll rephrase that. I'm awake all day. Drinking at night and doing whatever. Probably all the pros aren't, but because that's their actual job. My job's working for the NHS, so riding a bike's just a hobby. So yeah, 6 day is it's an amazing event, and I think it's one of them events that's a good way of getting people into cycling, whether that be through going to the event and watching or watching on TV, because it actually shows people in a different light, which is kind of like what it's there for. It's just entertaining, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because the original one, or one of the most traditional ones, the Ghent one, is basically just a massive piss up for everyone who goes.
Yeah.
And I think I like the way they carry that with it, because when I think of cycling, and I can't name any names or be very direct, I think of a lot of people who don't really party, they don't really drink. And I think it's nice that 6 days brings this kind of... I mean, me and you both played rugby. It's that kind of
yeah.
social aspect of the sport. Like, because even the riders seem to be enjoying it, particularly the sprinters. I mean, the actual main event, they seem to be a bit more serious, but the sprinters seem to be loving it. The crowd love it. And actually, the whole presentation thing seems to be the way that all sports are going now. Like, if I went to the Athletics World Championships when they were in London, they have all these fancy fireworks and big LED screens that go when people start racing. The International Swimming League, they do the same. They do, and the 6 days play around with the lights like non-stop. You don't know what's going on. They have a DJ whose ability I am not too keen on, but hey, he enjoys himself.
No, he's a good lad.
What was your song of choice that you got?
God knows. I think I had a different one every night. Although last event, they played my mix. So they asked for like a bunch of songs and then put it into like a mix. But all I remember is that one of the songs that I requested was One Direction, That's What Makes You Beautiful. And I know that was involved in it. So,
no, I mean, obviously Max is like Mr. 6 Days for Sprinters. He seems to be everyone. And
yeah,
he's permanently entertaining the crowd. When I was there, he stopped during his warm-up for his Flying 200 to take a photo with the crowd. It was impressive. Like, fair play. But yeah, it just seems like a good party. And to be honest, like, the racing is entertaining, which is what it needs to be. And I don't think the tactics you see in nationals races where people have got contracts, etc., riding on it are as bad. So it's just entertaining. Because like, quite often you see at nationals, it's just people marking people out of the race, particularly in bunch racing.
Yeah.
And that gets really dull to watch. Whereas 6 days, people just go at it and it's nice to watch.
Yeah, because I mean, 6 days, obviously, there's in the like endurance events, there is obviously points on the line. But I think people kind of, we'll say, risk it, in inverted commas, a bit more to entertain people. So it won't like mark people. It might just go for like some mad attack. And then obviously in the sprint, you'll do some mad things that you never would do because yeah, you're there to entertain the crowd, but you're also there to race. So it's kind of like a playoff on both sides of make it entertaining, but make sure the race is bloody good, which it always is. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why the UCI have kind of decided, oh, you know what? What we'll do is we'll change the World Cups around and we'll add a new event in and we'll call it, whatever they've called it, Nations Cup or something? Or is that the World Cup?
There's two things on there. There's like the one that's in all the cities, and then there's the Nations Cup as well. I don't know what the difference is. Proving my journalistic ability.
But I'm pretty sure we'll say it's the Nations Cup, but I might be wrong. By the sounds of it, and when I read the press release they put out, it sounds like they just want to do what bloody 6 Day do, and that's how it reads to me. So they're clearly trying to cash in on what's there. So will they do a good job? Probably not. It's the UCI. They'll probably ball some up.
I read somewhere on when I was reading about the new event, and I don't know if I am just not understanding what I read properly, but I did reread it a few times. If I didn't understand it, that's pretty impressive. But it seemed like one of the two events they're eventing, it said there would be four disciplines. And like one was a sprint discipline and the others were endurance disciplines. And it said they'd all be raced by like the same riders, which seems bizarre to me because it completely throws. Because the training for a sprinter compared to a track endurance racer is so different. I don't know why they do that. I don't really understand. I don't know if I read it wrong or what, but that was how I understood it. And I really don't understand how that's going to work. Because you're going to push someone out of the sport, effectively. You're either going to push the sprinters out or you're going to push endurance riders out. So.
Oh, yeah. And I think with the, I understand why they changed the times as well of it. Of all the, well, of their, kind of like, well, what is or was a World Cup. I don't understand why they changed it, but that falls in line with all the other racing that's going on in the world for road, especially women. Like, I prefer to watch the women's and like endurance and bunch racing stuff than I do the men's, because the women just don't give a shit. They just fucking, there's a gap, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, the only thing
and that's what they do.
I've witnessed at 6 days that like, to be honest, I've been to watch women's football, I've been to watch all sorts of women's sports, and they're usually actually more exciting because they're not, it's almost like men's training is so like disciplined. They just play what they see. That's a very rugby term, but they play what they see. And like the same in cycling, but the only thing that happened at 6 days was in the men's endurance, you have people who are continental riders on the road and they can hold the wheels of Mark Cavendish, Elia Viviani. In the women's, the bunch just seems so like too diverse. And I've always thought that was a bit of a shame, but hopefully they can up that. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think I think because there's probably, could it be to do with the less spots in terms of like women's cycling, women's sport in general, so they're willing to take more risks? Or is it because they just want to make it more interesting? I don't know. Kind of like
definitely.
Assuming,
but yeah, because I've always found it weird as well, because you see loads, like there's all these women's races and all these men's races that have women's races, and they're so poorly broadcasted, the women's events normally. I don't understand it, because like the best stage of cycling I've ever watched on the road was La Course last year or the year before, when Annemiek van Vleuten caught someone. She was about like 30 seconds down, caught someone within 200 metres of the line up a mountain. Incredible stage. Barely any coverage because apparently people don't want to watch it, but they do. But there we are. But it's like, I mean, at least 6 days ago in different directions, I was really, really unkeen on the idea of including Zwift at 6 days. That really annoyed me. I don't know what it was like for you actually being there, because I was never there on a Zwift day, so I never witnessed it.
Yeah. I won't comment.
Yeah, it just feels like you could do that from your own home.
In the velodrome, it just went a bit quiet. There wasn't as much of a buzz. So for us, it kind of thrived off that. It was a bit...
Who did they actually make race it? Was it just the under-23s?
I know they had like a couple of men's and women's races, but I don't know, if I remember, was it like, I know in the women's one, I'm sure it was like Shannon or something from the Irish cycling team who was in one of the women's, so I don't know if she was part of the under-23 stuff, I'm not sure.
No, because it was only men's under-23s, because that got replaced with the women's for the other 3 days, didn't it? Because again, there's a thing in cycling where apparently women can't ride the same distances. There you are.
Yeah.
They've only just added women's sprint, haven't they? In one event of the 6 day.
They did. They've done it. They've done it in like Berlin. I'm sure they did it in Hong Kong or wherever when they did one of the 3 day, 6 day events. I might be wrong with saying Hong Kong, but I'm sure it was. And a couple of other events. I know that they've put it in. And I think it'd be a good addition into the 6 day events, or even doing it for the three instead of the men.
Yeah, I mean, especially in countries that have two, like GB, because UK obviously have London and Manchester as it stands.
Yeah.
Or as they have done the last few years. I don't see a need to have this basically the same event twice, just shortened in half. They could really play about with it. But the other thing is, that you get to do a bit of work on your camera stuff. You're going to go for like an extra roll in the bill after you've done all your posing with your arms crossed for the videos. Or maybe you should be in Doctors, actually. You'd be quite good at that. Method acting.
It means I have to like do my hair and stuff like and do my makeup. Can't be doing with that.
Who does the videos?
So they have their own Brazilian house.
It's not Calvin, is it?
But they obviously no. Oh God, what's his name? You know when a name just goes out of your head.
Yeah, James I can't Poole. Help. I'm not
I called James Poole. But they kind of like work with kind of like their like camera team and whoever else is there as well. So
how much media do you actually have to do for 6 days? Because they have the overlays that come up when you've been taking a photo in front of a green screen. I don't know if they're videos or photos. And then you have all the weird ones where you're standing down the side of the track with your arms crossed. That's when you being an ex-rugby player comes into your four. You push the biceps out with your hands.
Hey, you know how to play it. To make them all that bit bigger.
Yeah,
it's all about the size.
Because they do get some quite interesting sprinters for 6 days. Because like Max is at like all of them, and then there was a Japanese guy, wasn't there?
Yes, you had Max, Robert, myself, James Bunting, Yuta Ibarra.
Oh, and the Irish guy.
You had Owen as well.
Yeah.
And then the year before, obviously you had Max and Robert again. Francois Pervy, Perko, me, and Lewis.
Is that Russian Shane Perkins?
Russian/Australian Shane Perkins, yeah.
Russian Shane Perkins. Always makes me laugh when I see that now. But there we are. That's all. Have you considered approaching like Moldova and saying, like, do you need an athlete?
To be fair, I've been asked before around would I ride for GB if they ever asked? And I think the first answer to that is they won't ask. So that kind of puts that out of the question. But secondly, probably not. And the only reason I wouldn't is like I enjoy my job. I enjoy working for the NHS. Every day is different. Yeah, I enjoy riding my bike, but I also enjoy training in the gym, drinking, eating crap and partying with my friends. Even though that doesn't happen very much anymore because I've got a 5-month-old, but hey-ho.
You're raising to be a party animal.
Yeah.
Starting young.
It can take after me when I used to go out on a rampage when I was like 18, 19, 20.
I thought you were going to say 8 then. I was like, oh man, Northwest Rogue.
This is what happens when you come up north. And money as well. So I get a good wage from the NHS and I got a lot of benefits now if I was to become a full-time athlete in any sport, really, unless the money was kind of to match where I was at, then it'd be kind of pointless. And I think, again, with like cycling, especially track cycling, there's no money in it. The only kind of benefit from it is that I see is obviously Olympics, getting your name out there. And if you get your name out there, the sponsorship from that. So you think about Jason, Chris Hoy. Can you think of anybody else, really, who... It's probably a couple of others. Boardman.
Well, yeah, because there's like almost two ways that track goes. Track is like a launch pad for a lot of young riders to make it on the road, like Geraint Thomas, Owen Yule, people like that. And it's also, or it's a career where you pile in loads of sponsorships. And obviously, like, well, basically telling you to retire. But like, you've got what, maybe one or two Olympic cycles left in you if you did convert anyway. And there's no guarantee you'd even make it all the way through that.
No. That's the thing. I don't know the ins and outs of BC and I don't care to know either. But from what I do know, obviously, they have targets to meet. If they don't hit a target, they just get sacked off. And that's it. I don't know. And if it was, I couldn't risk it. I've got a family. and bills to pay. So, yeah, it's, to me, it'd be too much of a, like, a personal risk for only a bit of gain.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Go find some nation with a really poorly established cycling federation. Well, apparently, the way Chris Froome got into his first Road World Championships was he sent an email from the head of the Kenyan Cycling Federation's computer pretending to beat him, saying we need an entry, and it worked. You never know. You just, yeah, I don't know who's... Actually, Romania have one of the nicest kits in cycling, so I would say if it's worth a try.
Well, I could, like, stay at home, then we're all...
Yeah, well, what's it called in judo? What's his name? Aaron Cook, I think. He won Olympic gold or something. He was GB's number one for 2012. Then GB said, actually, we've got someone better, and he went and became Moldovan. Moldova, like, we'll give you a citizenship. So,
fair enough.
You never know. Anything's possible. You could become Russian Alex Spratt and join Shane.
Yeah.
Have a nice little team sprint going on there. Make sure you do all your conversation in Russian, though, obviously.
I can only just speak English. I don't think I can speak any other language.
I know how to shout go in Russian. I think that's all you need, really. That's the thing I've always wondered, which I was about to ask you to elaborate on, but you don't do them. How do you communicate over the engine noise and the crowd noise of a Derny when they're doing a Derny race? How do they shout that loud?
Who? Us?
Well, the people in endurance in 6 days, because that's where they do the most Derny racing. You don't have to shout the Derny, you're fine. You just follow him.
Nah, we're all right. We don't have to do now.
Just shout at each other.
Yeah, like, get out of the way.
Elbows out.
Right, you can just hear. And from what I know, you just keep it as simple as possible in terms of what they're saying, and make each word that they say completely opposite to the other. So there's no kind of, like, miscommunication. What do they say? Nobody idea. So,
because Derny racing itself, it divides my household. I think it's hilarious because they go quickly and there's a Derny on the track. My brother hates it. He said it's the most boring thing he's ever watched. So, I don't know if riders seem to find it really tough. Obviously, they are going like 70 km an hour for the whole time, but I'm not sure what to think of it.
Well, it depends what bloody gear they're on as well. I mean, you think. When I'm doing a flying two, I'm on like 130, 140 inch gear. When I'm racing, I'm probably on my top, like 117 up to probably 135, depending on what I'm doing. What are they on? I mean, they're going ridiculous speed for the entire bloody race.
Yeah, well, the one that gets me, which, to be honest, with your size and the way you're built, I think you should do it just because it would look so entertaining. Have you ever been at an event where they've had stair racing?
No.
Oh, mate, those bikes. I think you'd look great on one of those. tiny little front wheel. No, they're even more insane. I actually rate stair racing, so I think it's great. But they never do it anywhere, so... disappointing, or at least not on TV, and I don't have the money to travel anywhere, so I'm waiting for it to come to Manchester. I'll go, the only man in the crowd.
It'd be amusing to watch.
No, I mean, there's some weird things out there in track side, isn't there? Because obviously 250 is the standard track. Have you ever raced on one shorter? Because there are shorter ones. I think Sweden has a shorter one, but it's really steep.
No, I've only ever raced on 200, 333 at Cottbus.
333?
And some other random track as well.
I've done 460 and 250. Because in the UK, outdoor ones are usually 460 and indoor ones 250, and then slightly standard. But then again, I'm not a track rider.
Yeah, I've been to Scunthorpe and Newcastle. Yeah.
Did you have to avoid all the tourists in Scunthorpe? And it's a popular place to visit.
It was the first time I think I've ever been over that side of country in bloody years. So it was an experience. Yeah, although no, I did get the track record.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, have they put a statue up yet? Are they still in the process? Have they got a statue up yet? Or are they just still in the process?
Not, yeah, I think they're still in the process. coronavirus has put them behind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they might end up putting a mask on your statue. Sort of cast it on. I've never been to Scunthorpe. There's a lot of places I haven't been to, actually, but I've now lived in Preston. I'm a convert. They are the mighty Northwest.
The Northwest is the place to be, especially Preston.
When I picked my university course, it had some of the cheapest houses in the UK. The course was the best. I should probably say that one first. That one makes it sound like I'm really uneducated. The course was the best for what I do. But I then, once I'd picked and got my offer, Preston has the cheapest average pint price in the entire country. So how could I resist?
It's got cheap drink, cheap food, cheap houses for what you're getting. It's central to frigging everything. So Manchester's down the road.
The train station's like, mad.
Yeah, Lake District's not a million miles away. I'm pretty sure it's like equidistant to like north to south as well. Pretty sure that's a thing. Or I might have just made that up because I want it to be a thing.
I assume whatever. You mean of like to the top of Scotland, not to England, because no way it's in top to bottom of England, surely.
Oh, no.
Because it takes me 4 hours to get there.
Yeah, 30 years I've been here and I don't plan on moving anytime soon.
Do you ever go up to Hopper still or not?
Yeah, every now and then. I played there when I was 5 up until I was about 25, I think. So I had spent quite a lot of time there.
Oh, yeah. Well, just to clarify, because I realised I just said Hoppers. Alex used to play rugby for Preston Grasshoppers and had England trials. But
yeah, there we are. Until I dislocated my shoulder.
Yeah, things happen. I've actually not yet ventured up to Hoppers because it's like 2 kilometres away from me where I lived. So.
Bloody water. It's that far.
Yeah, but do I look like the kind of man who puts effort into things I do? You wait till you hear the edit on this podcast and it's exactly as we recorded it. No, I think I will venture up there. I nearly got a job being their reporter for the rugby paper, but the guy replied to my email. I sent him an email saying I'm interested, can I have some more details? And he replied 5 weeks later saying, no, we've just given the job away. I was like, appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, not bad. So there we are. But in exciting news, which I don't think anyone cares about except me, I was supposed to be on the British Cycling Media team for the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour, but, you know, things got in the way. So, hey, we move.
Such as coronavirus.
That could have been the start of my career as well. Look at that. Could have been.
Never know, the podcast is like might be the start of it.
Yeah, you never know. Well, fingers crossed, you'll make it go viral. I'm going to do a test between you and Tom Sharples. I'm getting Tom Sharples on it soon. I'm going to see who's got more clout and who can get more people to listen to it.
Tom Sharples. What a legend.
Yeah, we'll see. Just because I've mentioned him now, I'm going to tell him to listen to this, but I'm just going to add, I actually beat him in a time trial once, and I'll never forget that. So, there we are.
Tom Sharples will have more clout than me because he just smashes the Instagram game.
Oh, I know. He gets so much clout. He shares a video, and I can't get off Instagram without seeing it. I go on Instagram. I like log into a completely different account with no followers. I still see it. I don't know what happens. He's just everywhere.
He's the kind of person you want to run your Instagram account. I just post a picture every now and then when I remember to.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, as someone who once had a successful Instagram page, mine is really poor. Big up the old chain gang. We'll remember them. Now it's just a website getting like 20 views a day. We move. Anyway, I think we'll wrap that up there. Because I appear to be digressing quite drastically, which is usually a sign that I'm done. I would like to say who I'm going to be back with next week, I've not got a clue. I never do, so this is as much of a mystery to me as it will be to you. So see you then.